Item two from the Director, Department of Transportation, providing an informational report regarding the Milwaukee County Transit System's review of recommendations provided in the Public Policy Forum report titled The Last Mile, Connecting Workers to Places of Employment. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
And we do have a report on this item, right, Madam Cornet?
We do, so attached.
Mr. Bain, go right ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Supervisors. This morning I have a report that looks at some of the recommendations that were made by the Public Policy Forum report in their look at the last mile problem locally and their look at what others are doing across the country. And I just want to provide a little context about what we're doing locally before I get into some of the specific recommendations that board resolution asked us to look into. A lot of people in the community look at the last mile problem and say transit's the solution. And I just want to point out that the Public Policy Forum clearly writes in their report that previous land use decisions have made it difficult and impossible for transit systems to effectively serve many employer locations, particularly given budget realities. So I just want to provide a little bit of context. We've got businesses that are located in remote suburban areas, business parks, industrial parks. Those are very long transit trips. They're costly. They tend to serve one or two destinations. There really isn't a lot of demand for those types of services. So they tend to be inefficient and expensive. I want to highlight a separate report. We mentioned this report to the Public Policy Forum. I don't recall whether they made mention of it in their report or not, but within the last year, the University of Minnesota issued a report that looked at transit systems nationally and actually said that the Milwaukee area and the service that we provide through the Milwaukee County Transit System is doing a very good job of getting people to jobs. They ranked us 13th nationally on a measure of how effectively we get people to jobs, how many jobs are available within a 30-minute bus ride in our system. And that really puts us in a much better position than cities like Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, Miami, San Diego, much larger cities. So we're proud of the fact that we have a very high ranking nationally for a transit system that gets people to jobs. What that University of Minnesota report pointed out is that the best way to improve access to jobs is to have higher frequency. And I just want to point out that we talked last month about an initiative by transit that we're anxious to start where we look at identifying those corridors where we believe there's demand and support for higher frequency. And we've talked about this proportion of high frequency routes currently at 40%. We'd like to push it up to 60%. I want to be transparent here. In order to provide more service in corridors where there are a lot of jobs and demand for it, we're going to have to take some of that service from other areas of the community. And that's part of this study that we're going to be undertaking, and we'll be hearing more about it. The other thing I want to point out, something that we're doing, you know, working on BRT is consistent with the idea of improving access to jobs. Other transit systems have found that when you invest in your core service area, you create better transit, jobs come to you versus the alternative of trying to figure out how to run a 40-foot bus to a far-flung suburban location. So I appreciate you indulging me a little bit there to provide some context. Let me get right into the recommendations that were in the report that the board resolution asked us to look at. The first was mobile applications. The Public Policy Forum report indicated that some transit systems are creating mobile applications to better serve their passengers. We had applied for a grant, a sandbox grant through the FTA that was mentioned about half a dozen times in the Public Policy Forum report. We put together a great proposal. Unfortunately, we didn't get that grant. But what we have done, because we hear the community saying they want the convenience of an app, as we've looked at our marketing budget and is there a way that we can use some of those resources to create an app. So one is under development. It would be an e-ticket for passengers to use. They would show the bus driver something on their phone that is their ticket. There would be some security and protections in there. It also would provide convenient information about when the next bus is coming, transit directions, and any type of news or alerts that your people should need. And many of these things were recommended in the public policy forum report and are part of the resolution. I'd like to come back in the next cycle in September and do a demonstration. We've got a beta copy of the software. It's in its early stages, but I'd like to come back and do an informational report on that next month. And I think you'll be pleased with the progress that we're making. Another part of the resolution on the public policy forum report asked us to work with Bubbler Bikes, the bike share service. A lot of times bike share systems are referred to as a potential solution to the last mile problem. In reality, those systems are primarily located in urban parts of the community in a dense situation themselves, meaning the stations need to be densely populated for those systems to have the heaviest use. So it's not real practical as a suburban business park solution to have a Bubbler bike station out there. But specifically, the board's resolution said that we should see what Bubbler Bikes is doing to make that system accessible and affordable to everybody in the community. And we talked to them about that. We are a business partner with Bubbler Bikes. When we do bus stop announcements, we say the bus is approaching water in Wisconsin. If there's a Bubbler Bike station there, we'll say Bubbler Bikes. So we have a relationship with them. And in turn for that, they do some advertising on some of their bicycles about the Milwaukee County Transit System. And in talking with them, Bubbler Bikes for about a year now has had a program through a grant from the Housing Authority of the City of Milwaukee, where individuals that reside at Housing Authority residences can get a bus pass for $8 for an entire year on Bubbler Bikes. And Bubbler Bikes is siting some of their stations in front of those Housing Authority residences. So I think that's consistent with what the resolution was asking us to do. We had a conversation with them. They don't plan on expanding that, but they are doing something now to be affordable and accessible.
You said they can get a bus pass for a year?
If I said bus pass, I misspoke. It's a bike pass, okay. Bubbler bike pass. I must have misspoke. Yeah, bike pass. $8 for a year. It's $3 for a bike ride, typically. So that's a great value. And I think some university students get access to that type of a bike pass for about $20. So they're trying to make it affordable and expand their ridership. Let me get into flexible transit, because that's really the meat and potatoes of the report. Flexible transit is something that's used in other communities where a smaller vehicle, like a 14-passenger bus or even a van, is routed in an area depending upon phone calls to a dispatcher or alerts from an app or something like that. So the board resolution asked us to look at flexible transit and would it work in Milwaukee. And one of the things about flexible transit is, by design, it's really serving low-density areas. It's serving areas with 3 to 10 passengers per hour. Our system averages 25 to 30 passengers per hour. So these are really costly trips. We have some areas right now that have very low, under 10 passengers per bus hour. We've got them up in Brown Deer on Route 276. We have them on the northwest side, Route 223, and we have them on the south side down in the Oak Creek area with Route 219. And if I understand the intent correctly, it would be to take a 40-foot bus out and insert a smaller vehicle that's not really going to carry any more passengers. And from a cost perspective, the bus operator and their benefit package is the most expensive component of the transportation system. So to put a MCTS bus operator in a van or a small bus doesn't really provide that much savings over the 40-foot bus. But what it does do is those handful of people, it looks like the bus is more full because it's a smaller vehicle if there's 3 or 4 people on it. So you have a little less criticism about buses being empty. Let me talk a little bit about the strengths and weaknesses of flexible transit and then get into some of the resource requirements and then the prospects for success. The strengths is that you can get some smaller cost savings. You can have some lower costs. One of the weaknesses is that on a flexible route, you don't have a schedule. So you need to have employers that understand that if somebody's routinely taking this vehicle to work and all of a sudden a trip pops up in another part of the area, they might be 5 or 10 minutes late for work. So if you're going to put flexible transit in, you need to have an understanding that employees know that it's not on a schedule and that the employers understand that as well, so we don't create any hardship for individuals. I already mentioned the opportunities. We do have some areas of low ridership where it might make sense to drop that type of service in there, but we don't have small vehicles. And we don't have the technology. We don't have a customer-focused dispatch center. Our dispatch center is focusing on our bus operators. It's not taking calls from the public. We don't have the operating and capital budget for such a thing, but of course that could be developed. Another way of approaching it would be to put out an RFP and see if there's a business partner in the community that has more of that set up, the smaller vehicles, the dispatch operation, or the technology to support it. So that, you know, there's a couple of different ways we could approach it. When we look at the cost is going to be high. And the biggest concern for me as the transit director with the high cost is that we have limited funding sources. And we don't know what Madison's going to do, particularly with the vehicle registration fee. And it's hard for us to always stand on this tottering edge of not knowing the fiscal future and then look at new ideas that we know are going to be expensive in the first place. So we're pretty concerned about that. Let me try to wrap up a little bit. You know, we have limited options for generating revenues. We can only raise passenger fares so much. There's only so much room on tax levy. We're waiting to find out what will happen with vehicle registration fee. We certainly will do whatever the community wishes us to do, and we will execute as best as we can. But we'd like to take a step back and see what's going to happen with the state budget before we make any recommendations about flexible transit. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Sure, sir, Troy.
Mr. Bain, it's been over close to a year and a half that I've been on this committee, and listening to your monthly reports, and I have to say, in all honesty, this is probably one of your better, if not best, reports you've ever given this committee, and I really am impressed. The other thing, and I know you won't be impressed or surprised with this, but I have read The Last Mile by Rob Aiken and his staff. I just don't know what to think of that research report. He points out, he and his staff point out, some significant items, but I just don't see us servicing the suburban community to the extent that his report seems to indicate. Like, we got this horrendous unemployment problem in the central city. There are factories that are vacant. There are people who are looking for work and want work, but the factories aren't there. They are out in the suburbs. They've got corporate welfare to build out there. And now they're crying that they don't have enough employees. Well, the situation's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. And maybe we should start thinking about creating some inducements and incentives to potential employers to build in the central city. Okay, I think I have my 3 minutes of fame there. Thank you.
Thank you.
the thing, we're going to have this again on our next agenda in September, because we want you to come back and give us a little bit more detail, even though that you stated what Minnesota stated about week 13 in the nation. Some of the questions that the recommendation did was not really answered, and you went around it. So I have some more questions for you, so you can make sure that in this report will have a little bit more teeth to it. I understand one of my supervisors think it was a very excellent report, but some other people have looked at it, and myself, we need a little bit more information. So I just going to have this information. We're not going to do anything with this, but we're going to have it back again in September. And we'll follow with some other questions. Item number three.